irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood with my co-host tonight, Brian Patton.
Oh, hello.
Say hello to
Nikhil.
Sexy vegan himself.
Oh, yes, the sexy vegan. That's right.
Nikki,
that's
Carulla.
Me. I'm that guy.
How was your week, man?
My week? Well, look, I'm engrossed in Thanksgiving, of course. What else would
you're
we want
engrossed.
To talk about?
You're engrossed. I'm engrossed. So you must be up to your ears in tofurkey.
You know what? I don't do tofurkey.
Oh, why not?
Because I'm a vegan chef. I can make my own stuff that's
okay.
way better.
So what do you? What's your main course for your Thanksgiving?
Well, my main course is it is a seitan roast. So not a coyote. So it's a seitan, which is made of wheat gluten, which I know is the devil for just about everybody on the planet, or 1% of the population, just everybody else thinks they, And it's wheat gluten and spices, and you steam it, and you season it, and it gets this meaty texture.
What's the consistency?
The consistency is like a slice of turkey.
No, come
on. I mean, it's close.
Come on.
It's close. It's like a, you know, I don't know. It's meaty.
Well, I'll tell you, after, like, the elevator's out today, and Brian and I had to climb, you know, three flights of stairs. And, man, I was just like,
boy,
dying.
Your
I was
arm's
like,
tired.
Oh, my God. I got to stop eating turkey. I got to stop eating all meat products. No, but,
well,
you know, honestly,
you got the right guest on today.
I do have the right co-host. And you know what? Apparently, you are the man to talk to about vegan cuisine, correct?
I am. Yes, I'm a vegan chef, cookbook author.
That's right.
Find me at thesexyvegan.com.
That's right.
Plugging away.
Good plug.
But Thanksgiving, I'm especially a self-proclaimed expert at because, well, I just love it so much. And I put a lot of research into the recipes. And I just today I do, if you're on the Periscope app, you could follow me at The Sexy Vegan, and I showed you from beginning to end how I make my gravy, and that is...
how do you do that with no meat?
Right. Okay. It's absolutely delicious. In fact, I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner for 16 people, and they want...
Gravy.
And myself and my son are the only vegans, and the entire
your
family...
Your wife's not vegan?
Nah, she's like pescatarian.
Okay.
She's close.
All right.
But she's vegan at home. Anyway... So everybody's eating turkey and all this stuff, but they want my gravy because it's that good. They don't want the gravy made from the turkey stock.
Oh,
they want my gravy.
Wow, that's
the key,
awesome.
The key is a dark roux, is what it's called. So a roux is fat.
I love dark roux.
As everybody should. the roux is fat and flour mixed together equal parts. And so it's usually a butter. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. It's just butter and flour, or in my case, a vegan margarine and flour. You cook them together and... slowly cook them, and over time, over about 30-40 minutes, it will go from a light blonde color to a dark color. And that is what's going to both thicken your gravy and
give it the color
and give it this great nutty, rich, robust flavor. And you don't
good
need
use of the word
any meat.
Robust.
You know, I used that word on my podcast yesterday, and the guy I was talking to said, I love that you use that word robust. And I wasn't even talking about food. I was talking about like an app, like some app that I have.
Oh, so you're just throwing around robust.
I throw it around in
frequently.
all genres. So I took that and I thought, hey, that guy complimented me.
I should say flagrantly. I said fragrantly.
Flagrant. Yes. Well, there's great one. Fragrance that comes from the robust stock made
with the gravy.
I'm
still catching my breath from those three flights of
stairs.
Yeah,
so anyway, you know. You don't need the meat to make the gravy. The great part is I can make it a couple days in advance.
So what do you do for pies? What do you do for like stuffing?
I make a pie. It's easy. Stuffing isn't easy. It's so easy to use like, vegetable stock.
So is it like a potluck that you go to?
Yeah, it's like a family. Yes, it is a potluck, basically.
Okay, so what did they assign you? Were they like,
I was assigned the gravy.
Whatever you want.
I was assigned the gravy. I volunteer to do everything because I make it the best.
Okay.
And everybody knows it, but there's some stubborn people on like the other side of the family.
Yeah, who
they want it their way, but their way is not as good as mine.
Oh,
and like the other
shit.
Half of the family knows that, but we can't, like, there's some of the people who I love them. They're very nice, but they have their ways. And
you can go ahead and say half,
No, they're not bad. They're very nice. They're incredibly nice. But they just have their ways. Even though the other half of the family knows that all the stuff that I make is definitely the best.
Okay.
But so I was like, I'll make the potatoes. I'll make the, you know, the gravy, the stuffing. I'll do it all. I don't care. You guys can make your turkey and make your cranberry things because I don't care about that stuff. But I'll make all the stuff because I like doing it and I know that it's best.
I'm having a traditional Southern
Ooh.
Southern Thanksgiving straight up with cornbread dressing, which I've never had before.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
Like sweet potato pie, the whole bit. Like there's going to be all kinds of goodness.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking about you. I was thinking about you tonight. I was like, man, Brian's going to be the co-host, and I just had a steak. I was like, I feel like, you know, I did something bad. But
most people who I talk to also probably just had steak or chicken because, you know, there's not many vegans on the planet.
That's true. Well, so, then, you know, they're increasing, especially in California.
Definitely. I mean, across the board, whether people are going vegan for health purposes or whatever, the word vegan is becoming more recognized and accepted. It's not as scary as it used to be.
So you've just been gearing up for Thanksgiving.
Been gearing up for Thanksgiving, mentally, physically. I made my gravy today. I'm going to do a lot of prep
tomorrow.
I'm
going to show those other gravy trains. Who's the boss?
They know. They already know who's the boss. My gravy's the best. So anyway, you can see my whole thing on Periscope. I did like this little 4-part series that you can watch. And,
dude, send me those. Like, just send me those links.
No, just follow me on Periscope.
Okay. So what do I have to do? I don't even know.
There's an app you download. It's called Periscope.
Okay.
You download it onto your phone, and then you follow me. And then if you have your notifications on, which I recommend, anybody who goes live, like I'll just go live.
Oh, and it'll go boom.
And it'll go,
Brian's live.
Hi. Yeah, Brian, the sexy vegan, is live. And then then you watch me, and I'm right there, and you can text little questions to me. Yeah, you can. It's interactive, though, because it's live, so you can text a little thing to me, and I can answer you, like, with my voice. You could say, you know, how did you do that?
Dude,
you need
a cooking show. You need to be like on
I make my own cooking shows on Periscope.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to be on a network, you know?
Thank you. I do have a new show that I'm starting. It's on this YouTube channel called Vegan Food Shares, this new channel that's launching. And it's called Your Vegan News, and I am the news host, the anchor, I guess.
Nice.
And so we cover – it's like this fast, you know, 5-minute quick hitting news thing. Like that pace, it's funny, and it's like, you know, it's like I'm like a way less funny, chubbier like Jon Stewart, but like way less funny and way less smart. But it's that in that vein
like
of a
it.
Show.
I like it.
In that vein of a show, but
aim high.
Yes, I'm aiming high. I'm aiming very high.
Well, we'll have to check that out. Brian,
yeah, thank you. Yes,
I'm so glad pleasure. You're here.
I'm glad too.
It's been a while, but you know what? We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Well, I saw Hunger Games last night.
Oh.
Have you seen Hunger Games?
I saw the first one.
You know, it was a, like for following a 4, you know, movie series, it was very not so gratifying
really?
To have the ending. I mean, it was just like, it was like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
I started to watch the second one, I think, and I fell asleep, and I was like, I don't really care all that
much. Yeah, it's one of those movies that's like, meh.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about Star Wars, obviously.
Of course,
I know you are too.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, this is like a fun time to watch movies from here till Oscar
season. I don't even know what else is coming out, but I know that there's stuff.
Well, have you seen the new Bond? Have you seen any?
No, I have not. I don't go to the movies.
You're like, I don't go out. I have a baby, so that is my movie.
Yeah. They have some ridiculous movie theaters out now these days.
I did
go to the movies not too long ago. I saw Trainwreck. The
Amy Schumer.
Which I thought
good.
Was funny.
That was good. Was that a date night movie? You can be honest.
Yes, actually it was. And then I was in like a recliner. Feet like actually reclined.
But it makes it harder to stay awake during these movies.
That is a possibility because I do fall asleep during movies, but that movie was good.
I saw a 10:15 showing last night.
Oh, that I would
so
fall asleep.
I was dozing left and right. I would fall asleep. The funny thing is, like, there was a part where I won't give away anything part of the movie, but there was like a bunch of monsters in the middle of the movie, just like, you know, full on out, and I was like dozing right before because there's a lot of dialogue. It's like, come on already!
Right, this
and,
is like, Hunger Games.
I literally almost screamed in the theater, and I was in the scene, like my heart was pumping so fast. So it was an amazing scene, but not an amazing finish to the story.
Right.
I'm just counting down the days for Star Wars.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, me too.
Just waiting. But you know, I've got some family in town, so cool. We've been doing a lot of touristy activities.
Ah, the good old touristy
Melrose, stuff. Melrose, went to the planetarium today at Griffith. So
I've never been to that.
What?
I've lived here for 14 years. I've never been to Griffith.
Dude, it's awesome. It's really awesome.
I would love to go to
a planetarium. Go see a planetarium show.
I was at one like when I was in elementary school.
Oh,
they're
pretty dope. Yeah. They're pretty dope. I saw one today called
They probably
Water's
have better
Life.
Ones now.
They have much better ones than probably the ones you saw.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how that goes. You know?
Yeah.
I think our special guest has arrived.
Hello.
Miss Betsy Salkind. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, that's fine.
No, you can be honest. You can be honest.
I'm going to turn her microphone on.
Yeah, that might help.
Oh, yeah. Well,
hey, that worked better.
My family says Salkind, but my first cousins say Salkind, so Salkind. It doesn't really matter.
Salkind. And what is that last name? What's your
Lithuanian.
Heritage? Wow.
Oh. Are there any fights like at holidays? Like, no, this is the way you say it.
We don't speak to each other, so there's no fighting.
Okay. All right. Well, that worked out for everybody then.
You must have vegan gravy at your table.
Oh. I was so excited you were having a vegan chef. And then everything he's talked about so far is gluten.
Gluten-free. Are you gluten-free?
I'm gluten-free.
Dude, that's
extra challenging. Because you know what? Gluten's delicious.
That's where all the money is.
And all the fake meat is gluten.
Almost all of it. There are some ones out now. A company called Beyond Meat makes ones that just about all their stuff is gluten-free.
Meat.
Yes, they're good. It's good
stuff. Pea protein, a lot.
Yes, pea protein. Look at you know what you're talking about.
I do, because I do a vegetarian.
Wait, so you're vegan and gluten-free?
Yes, because I'm gluten-free because I have Hashimoto's disease, which is an autoimmune thyroid disease.
Oh, okay.
And if you have that, you can't eat gluten because it gets your immune system all whacked out. So,
wow. Right.
I didn't learn that until many years into having
disease. And so you probably
it makes a huge difference.
It was a huge difference. Yes, huge I have one friend who is like really officially celiac, and when she changed her diet, she's not vegan or anything. She just removed gluten. Her entire physical being changed, completely changed.
That's
and
amazing.
So I
lost weight, skin cleared up.
It's gluten free vegetarian Thanksgiving.
Well,
it's delicious.
Gluten free and vegan. Yeah. Wow.
Well, it's not entirely.
So what are your options?
There's some butter.
Okay.
Cooking all vegan, but some people,
there's always somebody who brings butter to the party and never fails. It's usually Nikki, but.
But I call it
love
my
butter.
High-fat vegetarian
I love me
feast.
Some butter.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's great. I mean, and, you know, the gluten thing, I don't always have that seitan roast. Sometimes I don't even have an entree because the sides are so good.
Exactly.
Like, I could just eat potatoes and green beans and Brussels sprouts and stuffing and all this.
See, I love all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
the best. And the gravy, like, you know. And, so gravy, gluten-free gravy. I was just talking to a chef friend of mine today. She said that using rice flour in place of all-purpose flour, wheat flour, has worked the best for her in terms of texture.
I just do it without – I sometimes use coconut – I forget what it's called. Coconut cream.
Uh-huh.
But it comes in a jar. It's sort of hard. It's really – it's the whole coconut.
Right.
Use that as a thickener.
Thickener. Okay, great.
It's great.
Yeah, I mean you could also use arrowroot starch or something or cornstarch, other than
get a cooking show, you two.
Hey, look, you don't often have a vegan chef on your show. You might as well take advantage.
No, that's true.
But here's the thing is that it was hard to give it up because I lived for cake.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So what
how did you
was,
give up gluten? Yeah,
I did.
Let's hear this.
I changed my end of life plan from just hard drugs to hard drugs and gluten. And that's so I know I'm going to have it, just not right now.
So
and all my friends know what to bring me on my deathbed.
Oh yeah, you have a standing list. I'll have a pizza. Yeah,
yeah.
No, you going for the sweeter side?
To be honest,
that's
the killer for me. That's all. That's where all the good stuff is: sandwiches, pizza. I mean,
Gluten free breads aren't really all that awesome.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, that's a whole nother
I was trying to. I was trying to figure out something nice to say too, about them.
So
but
it's like, I want delicious food.
Sure.
Well, wait, how can you be a foodie and gluten-free and
well,
vegan?
Well, she has to. Well,
for, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. Basically. You can cook for yourself. Yeah. You can do just about anything.
And, okay. And I have a really intense sense of smell. I can work as a cadaver dog.
Well, the only reason I say that, like, to me, like, a foodie does not discriminate. It's like, you love all foods.
No. Foodies discriminate a lot.
That's right.
Foodies want... They're very
particular.
Yeah,
they want their shit.
They want it to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that. Like, that's a goody foodie.
But, you know, if you're vegan for other reasons than just your taste buds, so, you know, you still definitely a
you still
foodie.
Want your taste buds to dance.
Just go to Instagram and search the hashtag vegan. You'll see, like, billions of vegan food photos that will just, like, make you rethink
life. I mean, the people who come to my house don't realize a lot of times that they're eating... gluten-free vegan food.
Yeah. Well, like Cafe Gratitude. Like sure. I went there, and that you don't like that place.
No.
I don't really.
That's
like
crazy.
It that
it's why?
Because it's not very good.
What? I mean,
it's okay.
It's all right, but it's they.
I'm not
into the raw thing. I like my food cooked.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also they put agave and everything, which is I don't like. And
you're like, that's cheating.
And also they're just a little too serious about themselves.
Well, the menu items, it's always like. You have to order it.
Strong.
It's like, I am sunshine.
I am accepting.
Right.
They do have one dish that's not vegan.
They do?
They do. It's a hamburger called I Am An Asshole.
That's an appropriate name.
You know what? So Betsy is, you know, contrary to popular belief that outside of her chefing ways, she's a stand-up comedian, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you've been a comedian for how long? Like you've been doing this for
decades.
A while, right?
Decades, yeah.
And what was the thing that did it? What was the thing that you were like, okay, I want to do this?
Oh, I was...
How'd you get bit?
I kind of always wanted to be an actress, but everything I did kind of came out slapstick. And then I went to a college that didn't even have a theater department.
Where'd you go to school?
MIT.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
they definitely don't have a theater department.
No, and it was
What did you study at MIT? Well, you must have been an engineer.
It was my backup school, and I never even visited it. I had no intention of going
wow.
there.
Wow.
She's like, MIT, I've heard some good things. I'll just go there.
I love that you just said MIT was your backup school. It's like, was your first choice?
Yeah.
Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, or Yale, but I didn't get in anyway.
Okay,
so.
All right. MIT's like low on the totem
pole. Yeah.
So what were you studying? What was
applied
your plan to
math,
study?
Of course.
Applied, obviously. Well, no, that's what I was going to ask.
Management science. So then I went to work for the Federal Reserve Bank. I was a bank examiner.
Wow.
For 1 year. And I hated it so much, I quit and became a comic.
What did you discover whilst examining our banking system?
Oh, corruption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do tell.
let's put it this way. When I was, they have a Federal Reserve Bank Employee Credit Union. So the people who work for the Federal Reserve Bank don't use banks.
What?
It's a credit union. And,
right.
And wow. If you don't belong to a credit union, you should join one. Like,
yes, I've
get
heard.
Out of the banks.
Right, right.
Wow.
Wow, that's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really
that's like
messed
you know
up.
That's like you know somebody who works at a restaurant doesn't eat at the restaurant, like you know something's up.
Wow, that's crazy.
So basically, but what I learned was that the little banks, if they did anything wrong, we beat the shit out of them.
Wow.
And in fact, there was a bank in Burlington, Vermont, where Bernie Sanders is from.
Mm-hmm.
And the only criticism we could find was that they didn't make a high enough profit. Everything else was perfect. But they
losers.
They didn't make enough profit.
Wow.
So we, like, you know, beat the shit out
so
of that. But
what,
huge banks would be, like, laundering money and doing all this horrific stuff.
You're like,
and we didn't
everything
do
looks good.
Yes.
Move along.
Yeah.
Continue on.
Because everybody's getting greased in that world.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like such
what
bullshit.
Is beating the shit out of a small bank? Like, what do you actually do?
No, just giving them bad...
Bad grades or something.
Grades, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Poor you take
guys.
That C minus and you live with it.
Yeah. Make more profits, scumbag.
So did you go to comedy first? Were you attracted to that side? Like, were you an
audience
member?
Well, I was sort of always getting no, I wasn't. And I was always like interested in comic actors. Like, I watched SNL and Gilda Radner, Lily Tomlin, Carol Burnett, and I used to do all of their acts. And I wasn't really into stand-up, but I was kind of always getting in trouble for turning things into comedy routines that weren't supposed to be.
Like what?
Well, in business school.
Like bank reports?
Like at business school, I got in trouble for, we were supposed to do a presentation on a subject in international management. So I became Elizabeth McGregor from the National Coal Board. And I'm here to recruit scabs for the miners' strike. And the whole thing was like exactly what it was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
But it was a comedy act.
But you did
act.
A character and a comedy.
It was a complete comedy act, and uh-huh. also, obviously, completely undermining the whole business school idea. And
they're
I,
like, yeah,
I
you're
failed.
Not going to really thrive in this environment. You're like, you know what? I have more fun making fun of these people.
Well, exactly. So, yeah, and then I started doing it. I started doing improv mm-hmm. first. I was with a professional troupe in Boston.
What was the troupe?
Guilty Children.
Nice name. Like it.
And then I started doing stand-up.
Mm.
And I was kind of doing both for a long time. And then...
all in Boston?
Yes. And I spent my deformative years... No, they were... It was actually a great place to start out because it was... And because I could develop without...
You cut your
exposing
teeth.
Myself to...
Right. It wasn't L.A. or New
industry,
York, I guess.
Exactly. And then I went to New York, and by then I was only doing stand-up. And then I got to L.A. just doing stand-up, and then I started writing for TV.
How'd you like the scenes between Boston and New York for stand-up?
I much preferred New York.
Why? I mean, just because everything, there's like a live scene compared to like Boston where it's
Boston's a small town.
Right.
I mean, so there weren't that many clubs. But it was also pretty much white guys who are Irish or Italian,
mm.
and then they would have maybe a token somebody else.
Right.
So it wasn't a very diverse,
so it wasn't diverse.
Place.
Huh. That's interesting.
And then
I basically, you know, got a lot of my stage time at a lesbian bar doing the open mic for musicians where you get like a 15-minute spot
uh-huh.
for the same drunk lesbians every week. So you had to come up with new material,
right.
which is great.
Or else they'd start throwing bottles at you.
they'd
heard
that
one.
Oh. Yeah. And then the mafia burnt that club down. But
really?
Yeah. That
yeah,
happens.
Really.
Wow.
Yeah. But now they're going to take care of ISIS, so we're good.
But the mafia is? Or the lesbians at the bar?
No, the mafia.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Just checking.
Both.
that would be a great team.
Yeah. So you went to New York.
Yeah,
and
went to New York.
You were in like a different breadth of comedians. Right.
Well, actually, I was banned at a lot of clubs in Boston.
What?
So.
Why?
Yeah, because are we allowed to swear on this show?
Yes.
Fuck
I think
no.
we've all, I think you already swore.
Shit.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
yeah, you can swear. Fuck
I
yeah.
did a performance piece called The Emperor's Getting Fucked, which was, it was during like the height of Andrew Dice Clay and that kind
sure.
of comedy. And it was about the racism, misogyny, and viciousness in the comedy scene and how it wasn't funny. But
based on a Disney movie. No, I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
But I did it in character. You know, I uh-huh. did a character called Lois, Common Denominator. And
that's
and it
good.
Was, it was, anyway. Then
how was it received by fellow comedians?
The comedians really liked it.
Okay.
Some of them did.
Right.
But
the clubs were like, no, this is too racy?
I was banned by every club in Boston except for
wow.
Catch a Rising Star.
I've never even heard of that a club would ban a comedian.
Oh, that happens.
Dude, I've never heard of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, a lot of times they ban them just for a while. But anyway, I just started working in other venues and doing performance art, which was the same thing.
Did that
thing.
Turn you off a little bit? Like,
no, know. I was turned off before, which is why I dared to do it. Because I expected that it would lead to that end. It actually helped in some ways. I thought it would be the end of my career, but it wasn't.
Wow. That takes balls, honestly. I gotta.
And would you do this similar? Would you do similar material in New York, and you would not get banned? It would be received better.
Well, the piece was really about the Boston scene.
Oh, it was about the Boston scene.
Because I was like, I kind of named names.
Ah.
No names were named. Only one
mm-hmm.
person was named with their actual name, but I kind of referred to material. So
I see.
People in Boston knew who I was talking about.
I see.
The only person I named by name was Mark Maron, and that's because he had called me out in something on stage.
Ah.
But he was in the audience this one night when I did it, and he was like, thank you.
I was, you know, like, I have to give mad props to women in comedy because it's like you deal with so much more bullshit than I think any female in any other field. Maybe not every other field, but it's up there because it is so, like, comedy, I feel like, is a pretty sexist, like, you know, realm. I from any female comedians that I know, they've told me, like, just the favoritism that goes on.
The politics, when you go and look at the lineups, like, at the clubs, and it's 14 men. Yeah.
And it's like maybe one. And never
and
is she a headliner.
She's first.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And then, you know, she takes the bullet.
Which is bullshit, because I think in a lot of ways women can be funnier than guys. You know,
look, like, Amy Schumer is one of the funniest comedians right now. She's
Sarah Silverman.
And so Sarah Silverman, of course.
There's a ton of great women comics.
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah.
And there's some that, like, are really under the radar, and they shouldn't be.
Mm.
Like, Julie Goldman is unbelievable.
Oh, I don't know her.
See, I don't know her either.
She's
crazy.
So incredible, and it's ridiculous that she's not.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like a guy can be okay and get a crazy amount of marketing and commercialism behind him. But a woman, she could be fantastic and barely get even, 10% of that, which is
bullshit. Fortunately, we've spent our whole lives being discriminated against in one way or another. So,
you're like,
whereas,
use
like, men
it to
get discriminated
advantage.
Against a tiny bit and they freak the fuck out.
Right.
It's like, oh my God.
No, but I have a lot of respect for women that have to, like, they deal with that. You know what I mean? Like, women deal with that anyways, but I feel like in comedy, it's like, you know,
it's kind of a boys' club a little bit.
It is a boys' club. And music's kind of like that too, but it's a very totally different vibe, because a lot of women get a chance. A lot of women get chances, you know, because they're women in music, whereas I don't feel like that ever happens in comedy. I don't feel like somebody just gets a break because they're a female.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Although I got a big break from Roseanne.
Oh.
She hired a lot of women to write for her show.
Also,
I mean,
a vegan.
She hired very talented
by the way.
People.
That's awesome.
It wasn't like you could, you know, she trusted her own sense of what was funny, and so she would hire funny women who weren't, you know, didn't have representation maybe or something like that. So
that's very much like what Rodney Dangerfield did, like in the 80s, where he would have that sort of showcase, and he would just pick up these guys he would see at clubs and just, like, explode them, like Sam Kinison and stuff.
But, like, I wrote for her show, and half the staff was women.
Mm.
That's
but
awesome.
But that was – virtually no other show was like that. Most shows were like, we already have a woman. Some didn't have any.
Oh, a woman.
Well, before we – I want to talk about that, but let's play something from one of your clips. Which one would you like to – you made a little
list.
You
might as well just start from the – top.
All right, let's
call it out.
Betsy on health reform. Do you see that clip?
On health reform. I'm going to press the button now.
Any one of those.
First. Okay.
All right.
We'll do it. Here it comes.
Recently, I became a Christian Scientist. Because that was the only health plan I could afford. No, really, I'm very glad that we finally have health reform in this country, because clearly there's something very wrong with our health care system. Because Dick Cheney has had 6 heart attacks and he's not dead yet. And what was amazing to me was that that there were actually people who were opposed to health reform. They just didn't want other people to have any. And there were people who were actually calling Obama Hitler. Really, they called him Hitler. How stupid are they? The Nazis would never have a black Führer. And I have to say, the Republicans have, well, let me just say this. You probably know that the Republican National Committee and Michael Steele got in trouble because they spent $2,000 worth of contributors' money at a sex club in West Hollywood, which specializes in lesbian bondage. And I think that this just shows how financially irresponsible the Republicans are. Because I know a lot of lesbians who would have tied them up and beat the shit out of them for nothing.
Very nice.
Very funny. Very funny.
I like that you just push the envelope. I mean, you're just out there like boom, 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 pushing buttons.
Oh yeah.
So tell us, like, okay.
So I don't get in trouble for. I mean, I'm a fairly clean comic in terms of language.
Right.
But not in terms of content. Right. And you know.
But you know what? That voice needs to be out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, especially right now, turn of the century, it's just like that voice needs to be loud and proud.
I have, like, a ton of abortion material, and I can't from like 20 years ago, and it's still completely topical and relevant. Mm. And I wish I could retire some of the material.
One thing I noticed when you, like, I know Betsy because we did a show together with Steve Benequist, who's been a guest
here. Was
that
when I was the man?
No, you did the squirrel bit. The squirrel. I love the squirrel bit. But anyways, one of the things that I noticed, I'm like, what I respect is, like, you know, Amy Schumer and Sarah Silverman, they're great, but they use sex as part of their act. You know what I mean? And it's like,
I don't use it for anything.
That's what I love. I mean, that. Well, I mean, not that you don't use it for anything, but I'm saying, like, you don't use it. You don't need to, like, rely on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like those two comics, they rely on it to get those laughs where you just kind of, like, make people laugh on things that are, you know.
I kind of go the opposite. I mean, I like to dress as a Sunday school teacher so that I can say
whatever,
really, you know, edgy things without. But it disarms people, and I get away with a lot more.
So tell us how you got involved with Roseanne and how you got to be a writer on the show and how that came about. That's a really interesting – I didn't even know that about.
So you were a writer on the sitcom, Roseanne.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Yeah. That's one of the best ever. Before – I wrote on her short-lived variety show first. Mm. And what happened – it was actually squirrel-related. I do all this great political material, but I'm best known for my squirrel impression, which we can't do on the radio because it's silent.
And it's awesome.
But you can see it on YouTube. Yet.
Okay, I have to go look at that. Okay, go ahead. Anyway, I have to look at this.
So, I used, before I was gluten-free, the squirrel used to eat a matzah because it was the biggest cracker that I could find. Right. Now it's a toasted brown rice tortilla.
I got to get creative.
So evolve.
So it's just a squirrel impression.
Right.
And Roseanne had heard about this. I don't know how, but and then she was asking, well, who does the squirrel thing and with the matzah? And Carrie Snow, who was writing for her at the time, who's another comic, said, I know who the squirrel is. And so she asked me for a VHS tape of the squirrel bit. This is how long ago it was.
That's
VHS
awesome.
Tape. So I gave her one, and I guess Roseanne liked it, and she wanted me to be in a Hanukkah special on ABC. And then apparently ABC decided Hanukkah was too Jewish, so they didn't do the show.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
That was what I heard. I don't really know what happened to it. And then
it was probably that.
And then that was it. I didn't, you know, there was nothing. And then I heard Roseanne was doing a variety show, and I tried to audition for it. Couldn't get an audition. I didn't have any representation at all.
Did you tell them you were the squirrel?
I couldn't even get to somebody to tell them.
Oh.
You know, and I had been sending in scripts, you know, maybe I could be a writer, and you know, because I'd written sketches, and nothing. And then somebody I knew got some tickets to the taping of the first of the variety shows, invited me to go. And I really didn't want to go because I hate being in tapings, you know, where they tell you when to laugh and applaud. But and also, it just would have felt bad for me to be watching everybody else in the jobs.
Because that's
where
you
wanted
to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what, I should really go. Maybe I'll see Roseanne. So I went, and we're in line with our tickets, and they're bringing people into the audience, and then someone from the staff says, okay, you know, the cutoff is right here, and everybody beyond this, come back next week, we'll get you in. And I was in the come next week part.
Oh,
I was like, I can't come next week, I'm going to France. Because I don't know, remember why I thought
it's a good excuse.
To France.
I can't come next week, I'm going
to France. And it was like, they said, sorry, nothing we can do about it. So, but I was like, we're getting in. So, and this is before 9/11, so security wasn't what it is now.
Right.
So we went, I don't know how I did this, but somehow, I tried to get a hold of some of the writers because I knew some of them. And somehow just somebody,
you called them on their bag phone?
No, like, there weren't even.
I was just thinking that. There's
there weren't
no
even
text
cell
messages.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It was, I don't know. Somehow we went to the credential table. I said, can you get a hold of so-and-so? Somebody just hands me two press passes.
Oh, man.
And awesome. I was like, okay, we're in. So we go in, and we're in the green room. And, of course, I'm eating because I'm a starving artist. And Roseanne sees me there. She's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, shit, I'm busted. You know? I was like total deer in the headlight. And she says, come here. And we you know, I swallow whatever's in my mouth. Mm. And we walk down this, like, dark hallway behind the stage. And she says, so what are you doing? Are you busy? I'm like, you know. No, not really. She's like, you want to write for the show? I was like,
that is amazing.
Yeah, it was totally amazing. And I was, yeah, okay, sure. And I had to cancel my trip to Paris, but it was worth it.
That's totally worth it.
Wow.
It was totally amazing.
That's a, you know what? You don't hear stories like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, stars are either so full of themselves or there's like so many people that build
She wouldn't have gotten into the green room.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. There was one more thing happened between the matzah thing and that, which is that she was the Comedy Awards. They used to have their after party at the Comedy Store. And I didn't go to the awards, of course, but I was a regular at the Comedy Store. So I kind of snuck in to the party. And, you know, I'm back behind the pink dot putting on a ball gown in the back of my Pinto. Sneak into this thing. And Roseanne was there. And I'm like, I got to meet Roseanne. I got to tell her, you know, who I am. And I asked another comic to introduce me. And the comic said no. I was like, all right, well.
He said no?
It was a woman. Said no.
Why would she, say no?
I'm not going to name her because, you know. But anyway,
her name's Ed Marty.
Some people, you know, feel uncomfortable, or maybe the people will reflect badly on them. I don't know. So I decided I would have to introduce myself, and I was very nervous about it because, you know, I fully expected she might just look at me like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Right.
But so I said, "Excuse me, Roseanne. Hi, a huge fan. I'm the girl who eats the cracker, the squirrel." And she's like, "Oh yeah. Hey, this party's really boring. We're gonna have a show. Will you go on and do a set?"
Wow.
And I was like, oh, sure. And, I, of course, I didn't have my matzah with me.
So, oh, of course not.
She's like, damn it.
I know.
What am I going to do?
I wish I was there. I always have some matzah on me. I could have helped you out.
So I had to use a Dorito from the bar.
Oh,
so it was
God.
A very short squirrel.
Uh-huh.
And then Roseanne introduces me, and then I get off stage, and I'm sitting at her table with Joanna Lumley and Jennifer Saunders from AppFab. And I'm as high as I've ever been. I mean, this is like... And, you know, and by the end of the party, everyone's saying, oh, Saul Kine's writing for Roseanne, which wasn't true at all. And that it was after that that I kept trying to get seen in the show and couldn't get through.
I see.
So
you felt, you're like, I have my foot in the door already. Right. Why aren't they responding?
I
know, you just thought you did.
How many years did you write for the show?
The last season.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then and before that for the variety show.
That's incredible. I mean, honestly, like...
It was life-changing.
Not many people even get those opportunities. You know what I mean? That's incredible.
Does that open up lots of other writing opportunities when you write on a show that big?
You would think so.
I would think so.
But I went back to stand-up after the show. And
sorry, I missed.
A terrible shot.
And I write books.
Oh.
Children's-style books for adults.
Really?
Children's-style
books for adults. What does that mean?
That's awesome.
Because I now read lots of children's-style books for children, and I hate them.
Oh, you are
mine. I would like to – can I read this to my toddler? Or?
It's up to you. It's the last book I did was called Betsy's Sunday School Bible Classics.
Okay.
It's the Old Testament stories, and I put back all the stuff they take out so kids won't be afraid.
Uh-huh.
And then I illustrated it.
Oh, my God.
And it gives voice to the women, the children, and the animals. And it's
funny.
Wow. Dude, that's dark.
It's dark.
Yeah, that's dark.
But it's very funny. And it's like, you know, it's basically kind of an expose of the Bible.
So are you religious? Were you raised religious? Or
no. But, you know, as the world has gotten more religious, more fundamentalist, I thought, well, you know, we should see what's really in that book.
Right.
And it's some disturbing stuff. And
well,
I don't think it should be our moral... You know,
moral
guide.
Compass, yeah. Well, I mean, and a lot of, you know, all the fundamentalists, they totally twist what's in there
jokes.
Anyway.
I had jokes about Old Testament stories.
Yeah,
Abraham and Isaac. And then I was friends with this comic, Edmund Johnson, who, I don't know what happened to him, but he, I was friends with him in New York, and his father was like a minister from the South somewhere, I think a Baptist minister. So I was doing stories about Job and Abraham and Isaac and this stuff, and he's like, oh, where do you hear this one? And he told me all these unbelievable stories, like the priest and the concubine, which...
opened some doors.
It's epic. Epic. And so we started just, you know, finding all this humor in there.
Uh-huh.
And that really inspired it.
And so did you go and just read the Bible straight up?
No, I didn't read the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
I kind of picked certain stories, stories that were particularly disturbing about... Basically, how they treat children and women and animals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Noah's Ark is one of them. And most of them are pretty well known, and there's a couple of obscure ones.
Right.
But that I chose them for their content and also for the morals that are supposedly in them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And just
and then I
them.
Researched the hell out of those.
I see.
Once I found the stories I wanted, I went and looked at various interpretations of them.
Ah, got it.
Well, not to switch gears, but let's showcase. let's showcase some more of your stand-up comedy.
Sure. I also have that. Some. I think there's some things from the Bible.
Yeah, but they're not. They're
unrelated.
Videos.
Oh, I gotcha.
They're animated.
My bad.
So.
Okay.
Let's do the Optimus clip. But
the Optimist.
People can see them.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
We'll get to that in a second.
The Optimist and Optimus on Optimus.
No, but really, it's hard, and I don't have children because they're expensive. But I do have cats. And, you know, sometimes it's hard just to put food on the floor. But I'm an optimist. I am. And I know I'm an optimist because otherwise I couldn't be continuously disappointed. Having said that, we're fucked. And, I mean, we are just, you know, it doesn't seem like we're ever not going to be at war. And it's so crazy to me that, well, you know, there's the Geneva Conventions, which are the rules for war. Keep it all civilized. And, but some of them are good. And my favorite Geneva Convention is the one that says that if the country invades another country, they're then obligated to feed the citizens of that country. Right? So I really want us to provoke Thailand. So this is not my real hair. I mean, it's my real hair, but it's not its natural condition. It's a... my natural hair is a bit Jufro, but now I go to a black hairdresser so I can look Asian.
Yeah, very nice.
So it's kind of a crazy audience, but that was the taping for Showtime special.
That's awesome. Ah. So where are you performing now? Are you doing like the comedy clubs in L.A.? Are you kind of going outside?
In L.A., not so much anymore.
You got burnt on the scene?
No, I didn't. Well, I did get burnt on them. Like, they got, you know, they started just booking a bunch of young men. I mean, it's gotten worse in terms of how many women are getting spots. Yeah. It's worse. Back when Mitzi was running the store, there were usually a bunch of women on a show. And, you know, we were friends with each other because we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's I'm working a lot of weird venues.
What's a weird venue?
A strange Russian bar where we met. Churches.
Right. Uh-huh.
Theaters.
A lot of
like
bars.
Theaters.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wherever. Basements. Senior citizens.
Well, that's a thing now, actually. Well, you got
basement
people
party.
Doing these two guys I know. They started doing these living room comedy shows or something, and that's like a new.
Well, the
thing.
Nice thing is, you know, I did one of those. I produced one at my house.
Oh, cool!
And it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wait, you produced a living room show at your house?
Yeah, I had a musician and then Julie Goldman performed it.
Wouldn't that be like kind of like creepy for any random person that knows where you live?
It was by invitation only.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's so, still kind
of... Yeah, that would be creepy, but no, it wasn't a public event.
Yeah, I don't know if I could let people
most
know
of them
that.
Aren't. I mean, most of the salon ones are invitation.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I love that they do that because, you know, there's more talent out there than, you know...
Oh, there's huge talent out
especially
here.
Especially in a city like L.A. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to do the show, you know? It's like I wanted to showcase artists that I know, and B, that I know are good, because there's so much bullshit out there. It's like, I'll go to a comedy club, a big comedy club, a little comedy club, and I'll watch 10 comedians, mostly men, that mostly suck.
Yeah.
And then I'll see one or two really good ones, and they're either really stuck on themselves, or, you know, it's just like, it doesn't maybe relate to everybody. It's not like one of those things. I have to say, I saw Kevin Hart the other day, and... You know, I was really surprised how much his comedy was not just black comedy. It was like, I read all these interviews on him. That's what made me want to go see him. Like, he targets a wide range of people. And it's like, I think comedians, they are a voice that we need more of, you know? So, especially female comedians, because, you know, I think it's important not just to talk about sex jokes all the time. Not that I don't mind. I love a good sex joke. Sure. You know? But
like
it's like
a good one.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. One. Yeah, that, absolutely.
I have one or two.
No, but my point is, it's like a woman should never, like a woman comedian should never feel like, oh, I tell jokes, it has to be a sex joke. You know what I mean?
Right.
To get that kind of notoriety.
Well, you know,
or,
and
you
part
know,
of it is also you're going up after, like, you know, eight men who've all talked about porn.
Right.
And,
right.
You know.
So is there an outside of the box sort of idea to get seen or recognized other than just the circuits, just the comedy circuits, like is sort
yeah,
of,
that's an interesting
it, you know, is social media or YouTube or something? Is that
I basically completely gave up on the system mm-hmm. trying to get seen. I mean, which is part of why I started writing books and creating stuff that can have a life after I'm dead,
mm.
because I got no control over what happens here.
Right.
And I'm more interested in creating and being an artist than I am in being a successful comedian, mm-hmm. whatever
right.
that is.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it's sort of like just who my heroes are just shifted, and my idols shifted into people who left a body of work. So that's what I've been into.
Who has left a body of work that you admire?
Well, I mean, like some painters, you uh-huh. know, like Van Gogh. You know, people who just didn't even get shit while they were alive.
Right. Yeah,
and then
they suffered.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I have to suffer or that one should, but that creating the art is its own thing, and I got way more interested in that and. I mean,
I think that comes,
used to be a great marketer, and now I don't market.
Mm. Yeah,
I
feel the same.
To.
I'd rather focus on content.
I used to make a living as a comic,
right.
And now not really.
Well, so is comedy that. Just sort of part of your outlet?
Yeah.
Just to get this part of your ideas out, but
oh,
then
yeah.
you have different ideas that go
and
into a book.
And this has been a phenomenal year for me comedically. Because I've been doing, you know, a lot of the same jokes for a long, long time. Mm. And then starting on New Year's, I opened with 5 new minutes I wrote that day. And it was so much fun and so great that basically all this year I've been creating new material like crazy and having a ball. And one of the gigs I've been doing that I really love is the VA hospital.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's totally great.
Dude, let's talk about that for a second.
And I get to do a half an hour there. You know,
wow.
Whereas most of the clubs, you know, you get
like
five,
7
10,
minutes.
Yeah, 5, yeah. 7, 10 minutes. And so I like to do longer sets.
I always talk about that with Eddie. It's like, how could you get 5? Like, if somebody said, oh, yeah, you have 5 minutes, that's your performance time at
a
big
venue.
I
don't want to leave the
house
for that.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's like.
You know, I've done open mics, but it's like. To prepare that much effort.
Yeah, give up your whole evening.
Yeah, yeah.
Spend the gas money.
Yeah, it's
right.
just not worth it. I'd rather be entertained watching a movie or,
yeah,
you know,
right.
go do something fun.
And work on your craft at home.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. It's like at least half an hour you get in that. You have legs. It's like, oh, you can stretch stuff out. You can go into, you know, little
And an audience
dimensions.
Can get to know you.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And you can really, in a set like that, you can bring in 5-10 new minutes and still have a solid set of stuff.
Very cool.
I think I'm sure it's refreshing too for a lot of the people in that
yeah,
realm, you know
is.
What I mean? To
is.
Hear comedy and your perspective and even some of your political stuff. Do you try a lot of your political
and they
stuff
love
out?
It.
See,
I mean
that's
those
awesome.
Guys know. Like, you know, they know
yeah,
that
right. they know
basically after they served nobody gives a shit about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's
they become
not,
a number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's play another clip. I'm going to give you the choice. You want marriage and children, or do you want drugs?
That's a good
or animals.
That's tough.
You choose. You have. I'm going to give you free reign. So you choose.
Okay. How about marriage and children?
All right.
Let's do it.
I grew up in Connecticut in the 70s. It was very ice storm. My parents were swingers, except my mom didn't know it. But despite that, I got married. I married a man because it's legal. And I only like to do things that are legal. I married a man and I take prescription drugs. But I think the reason that some people are opposed to gay marriage is just fear, right? It's just fear of the millions of Mexican lesbians who are going to come here for green cards. All that is. kids, because we're way too immature for that. No, I get up at 7 p.m. and go to work for 15 minutes. And I think if we ever are ready, we're going to be those older parents. You know what I mean, the much older parents. And we're going to tell our kids that their parents died in a car accident. And we're really their grandparents. And that's why we're too tired to do anything fun. And my best friend had a baby, and she wanted me to have one too so the kids could play together. Yeah, that's a good reason for me to have a child. So she thought if I was there for the birth of her child, then I'd want to run right out and do it. I was there. It was kind of amazing. It was miraculous and fascinating and disgusting. But I have to say, if you ever do this, get the epidural. Once I had that, it was a whole different experience.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Betsy Salkind. Did I say it right that time?
Yeah.
You like
it. According to half of her family, you said it correctly.
That's right. I think I switched sides.
No.
You've been an amazing guest.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
Amazing.
Well, we know that. No, I'm just kidding. Where can people find you? What's your Twitter? What's your website? Let us know.
Okay, the website is BetsySalkind.com.
Spell it out, too.
BetsySalkind.com. And from there, you can get to all kinds of stuff. I'm on Facebook, Twitter's just Betsy Salkind. The website will get you everywhere you need to go, and I'll probably accept your friendship unless I think you're not real. Then I there's
isn't
a
that
lot
weird?
Of
that. Facebook,
there's a lot of not
so
real
weird.
People on Facebook
sure.
these days. I've
yeah.
noticed.
If I don't actually
they have
know
no
you,
other friends than one.
Right,
friend
right.
Of mine.
They don't even have like an avatar.
They have no pictures.
Like a, yeah,
nothing.
No picture. Yeah, yeah.
They don't
very
exist.
Strange. Very strange.
And
it makes
else.
You think less of the people that are like. Oh, I have a mutual friend.
I do. Wow. I'm doing improv, actually. I'm doing an improv show at Vidiot's in Santa Monica on
oh,
December 3rd.
Oh, that's a great club.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. Well, oh, cool. It's a video store, but it has a room in the back, a performance space. So it's
and you're doing an improv?
Yes.
So one woman
people.
Improv
no,
or
no,
three
with,
other people?
No, with a okay. little group.
What's oh, the name of that show
I was
time?
A substitute, and then they invited me to come back.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
It's December 3rd, a Thursday, and I think it's at 8. But
awesome.
All that's online, and I forgot what else.
You have your book coming out?
Oh, the books are all on Amazon and also on my website.
Okay.
Awesome.
And we'll just search your name.
And
and
you can find the videos, the video adaptations of the short of the
oh.
things.
Or, yes.
Well,
I must
Betsy
see
or you
those.
Can just email me. I'll send you links.
You've been an amazing guest. We want you to come back.
You mean all of our guests can email you and you'll send them all individual links?
Yes.
Okay. That's very
I
nice.
Will.
And
very
we wish
and
you
and remember,
a good time.
Turducken is meddling in the dark arts.
Couldn't agree more.
No, really. It's great to reconnect with you. It's amazing to hear your story. Awesome stuff. We definitely want you back. On behalf of Brian.
Bye.
Betsy.
Bye.
Find I'm Nikki Carulla. Say it one more time, Brian.
Find me at thesexyvegan.com. There you go.
And I'm Nikki Carulla. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.